sick. Bobby said, the hospital bill is already $40,000. I said, I've got the money in the bank. We'll pay it. There's no problem. That's what we think about. I've got some folks, they get sick, I pray they die. Amen. Amen. I had an old lady got sick in our church. She'd been there for years. She got sick, and I told the Lord, I said, listen, I can't spare this old lady. So I've got 6-7 others I can ship in her place. Please don't take her. She's still there with us. I got about 6 of our ladies just come in. I want them to stand up. These are ladies out of Shady Acres Baptist Church. Y'all would please stand, all of them, please. This lady right here in the front is Brother John's mother. The girl on the end, that's on the left, that's his sister there. This lady was saved the first day I was at Shady Acres Baptist Church. The girl was saved about 2 weeks later. And she prayed her 2 boys in. God saved both those boys. Miss Tadlock, back on the back, if y'all have ever been to my church, Brother Joe, the Mexican boy, leads us singing there. Y'all just keep standing. It'll be all right. I want to see y'all. Miss Tadlock won him to Christ. Brought him and his wife. I done give up on his wife. And she brought him, and God saved them. The first service they come in the church. Roman Catholic, they got saved. Amen. Miss Tadlock, you've been there, what, 25 years? 25 years. So a lady pushed her down to the church in a wheelchair. Both her legs broke. She'd been drinking and gone over by a truck, and God saved her. The last good many, many, many years, just every day, every day, every day in the streets, bringing people to Christ. Every day. I want all them ladies to stand back up one more time, please. All of y'all stand up. There's not a lady standing there, not one woman standing there. Would tell you how to be saved in 1 minute. Amen. They're looking for somebody to tell. The lady in the back, Miss Doherty. Miss Doherty, I'll get her right in a minute. she's used that planograph and all of our camp meetings and everything, and she's now trying to win them kids to God and taking 25 or 30 minutes and live with a drunkard husband, and nobody but her comes to church, and she comes to church and serves God. The same way with Bertha right here. She's had a lot of problems and troubles in life. Just come around church, serve God anyway. Girl on the left, husband's never served the Lord. She's come serve God anyway. And, some of y'all heard Phil Dunn. This is Robin. Raise your hand, Robin. And I tell you, Phil quit a job making about $600 a week. He went full time. He works in the jail. He called me today. And Robin will jump up and grab about a pocket full of jewelry and go off and sell it and buy some groceries. And Phil run outside and cut 2 yards and pick up 40, 50 bucks and go on down to jail and preach the gospel. And, amen. That's the way we do it at Shady Acres. That's the way we do it. And they give the rest of it to missions. Amen. This is Brother Carl Wright. Many of y'all know Carl. This is Carl. This is Beth. This is Carl Wright. He's in Taiwan tonight and on business. And we thank God for Carl Wright. Amen. Y'all be seated. I've asked my boys when they was kids, I said, we had a lot of missionaries there, and we've got quite a few men here. How many men we got here, missionaries here out of our church? Y'all stand up. We contest anybody here. This guy right here, this little guy, he can eat more than anybody in here. And we're betting people, amen. We bet he can, amen. He said, you ain't supposed to gamble. It's no gamble. He can eat more than any living man. Amen. He's going to Poland. God called him. We took him over there and hauled him all over that country. Hauled him all over Russia and all in that country. God spoke to his heart about it. We took Chuck over there. Amen. Took Chuck over there and God called him to Europe. He's going to East Europe. He's out buying books yesterday. Sold some books. Made a couple hundred bucks. How do them guys do that? Very simple. Get up off your rear and go to work. That's simple. Amen. God bless you, boys. Amen. Elazar there, he's been over there. How long have you been staying? 5 years? And inside our church, he had $125 a month support. He said, well, I don't believe you can make it on Spain. And how much you make? 500 what? Oh, he had $220 support. Some of that came from Germany. See, going back, he's going back. I'm home for a year. It's been about 5 years. People come down from the television station and give him a radio station, right, Joe? 30 minutes on the radio. Millions of people just preach to him. You say, ain't nothing going on. Might not be nothing going on around your place, but we got something going on. Amen. You invite God in on something, but I'll tell you what. Kind of like having children. It's a lot of fun having them. But then after they're born,
amen.
You got to feed them. Change them diapers. When these boys have any problems, I get on a plane and go over and we get it solved right quick. And I go in a minute and pay my own way. These are my boys. I want them to God. How many of you boys will save your shady acres? Raise your hand. Yeah. See, I didn't get them to move their membership from somebody else. You were saved in a month revival with Dave Jones? You were saved in a month revival with Dave Jones? How long have you been saved? 8 years. How long have you been saved? 9 years. Yeah. You said, there ain't nobody, everybody's saved in our town. Everybody's saved in our town. So you preach the hell out of them and get them lost. Amen. Look in your Bible, please, in Proverbs. You know, I've never said this in my life. I'm not persevering. I'm not in. I'm not Don Green. But there's a little cloud hanging right over here. Just a little cloud hanging over here. So y'all just ask God to put that cloud out. If you went out somewhere today and got all demon possessed, why don't you just, you know, go to the bathroom? Amen. While I try to preach. Amen. A little cloud. Just a little cloud hanging in here. Amen. 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 I saw one of them sneak out last night and get in their car just out there reading their Bible while I was preaching. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 21. I couldn't take it. I'd write on the back of my shirt, girl. Amen. Nobody didn't answer the invitation, not many last night, so I got a good subject. I believe we'll just stick with it. Proverbs 21, verse 12. Proverbs 21, verse 12. And I'm not using this for a text. God gave me this text. God gave me this verse of Scripture, and I prepared this message out of this verse of Scripture. This is not a sermon that I got together and hung this text up in the front of it. The Bible says the righteous man wisely considers the house of the wicked. But God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Let's look at it again. The righteous man wisely considers the house of the wicked. Now, in other words, he just takes a good look at the way that they're going. That's a wise man. And he wisely looks at what they're doing. I want to tell you something. Time will reveal a lot of things. Brother Danny Farley is my son-in-law, and he came to me one day and he said, "Preacher, you've taught us this and told us this, but I'm pastoring this church. His church is a mission out of our church, and we have two churches in Houston Mission. One of them runs about 600, and Danny runs 100 and something there in his church. He gives about 100,000 to mission this year. Brother Danny told me, he said, if you're not right, said, we're wasting a lot of time. And men were moving in the area, and they was building million-dollar centers, you know. It all just come to nothing. But God established that East River Baptist Church. The East River Baptist Church has become a bulwark in that community. And it's become a blessing to the world of 100,000 a year to missionaries. And never before, probably in the history of that church, been there over 100-and-something years. There's two men sitting here tonight that have been called of God out of that church, going out to be missionaries out of that church. And some already there. But our church had not sent out a missionary. They sent out one. He wasn't called there, but he was sent out of there in 1958. And from there on, there was nobody ever called out of there. But the righteous consider the house of the wicked. Now, when you look at the house of the wicked, the foundation is unstable. There's nothing stable about the wicked. But as long as you live for God, you're in stability. You've got stability if you stay with God. So you're on a rock, a firm foundation. But the wicked have no foundation. It's unstable. Their strength is unreliable. And you need to wisely consider the wicked. I don't care if it's financially. I don't care if it's religiously. Whatever it might be, if it's wicked, it's wicked. Leave it alone. And there ain't nothing as wicked as wicked religion. Now, these two, Brother Chuck over there, have been working for months and months and months in a prison. It's the free gratis. They just go out there and they work every day. They go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning and they just walk up and down them corridors and deal with those men. And the first day that they went out there, a Southern Baptist preacher asked them, what are you doing with that Bible in your hand? They had a Bible, both were preacher boys, two preacher boys out of our church. What are you doing with that Bible? I didn't say every Southern Baptist was like that. Most of them would have a Bible. It might be a living Bible, but it has something. Ought to be used to blow their nose or say something else while I was at home. But their strength is unreliable. Unreliable. Their protection is unpredictable. God protects His children and tells us that we're like a bunch of a chicken with his brood. He's going to cover us, take care of us, like He would a spouse. Our strength is reliable. Their strength is not. So, He wisely considers the house of the wicked. You see, the righteous are not fooled by the temporary success of the wicked. Oh, you say, Billy Graham has thousands saved. I doubt that. I doubt that. But I want to say this. Everybody around him is wicked. They're wicked. The Union Seminary and what the schools that produce this man and promote this man, they're wicked. Amen. A man asked me in Romania, said, what do we do here? Here's a preacher. I never brought it up. And Brother John would tell you, I evaded the question. And he finally said, listen to me, I want to know if we should go down there and be in that meeting. I said, well, let me ask you something. What did your communist leader in Romania say? He said, they made us go down there. I said, what does the Catholic say? He said, the Catholic said, we should go down there. It'd be a blessing. I said, what did your Christian daddy say, who is dead now in the grave of an old preacher? He said, leave them Catholics alone. Leave them communists alone. I said, well, why don't you listen to your daddy? So I put the monkey on his daddy's back. I've got a little old sermon you might write and get it. 10 reasons why I believe Billy Graham's going to hell. And I believe it. With all my heart, I believe it. If I didn't believe that, I'd just get out of the ministry. The righteous are not fooled by that temporary success. a temporary success. Amen? The righteous know that what they've got is not permanent. God, I told you there's a little cloud right here. I know it. You didn't like the money, now you didn't like what I just said. Well, why don't you go join him? You see, we pulled out, Joe West, 35 years ago. We didn't pull out. They put an ad in the paper said, the Southern Baptist Convention has never put a church in 140-something years, hadn't paid for it, out of the convention. Joe West could stand and tell you tonight, they are a liar. They put him out. And Jack Wolf can look you right in your God-given eyeball tonight and said they had a meeting downtown and closed our mission, and we wasn't even there. Didn't even invite the pastor. The ranchers were not fooled by their temporary success. So I knew religion was going this way, and I left religion headed the other way. Amen? Now, you might as well get with me, because there's some in here that's not with us tonight. Amen? The righteous are not fooled by the temporary success of the wicked. The book is clear on success, and it's in Joshua 1, verse 8. You meditate on that word, and thou shalt have good success. Success is not in temporary things. You got me tonight? It's not in temporary things. Now, our history a man makes it clear what success does to a man. He'll destroy his family. He'll forget his mother in a rest home somewhere. He'll leave his old daddy and never hear from him again. That's success story. And he'll say, my son is over in Asia doing a great work over there. And he's doing so-and-so. He works for so-and-so company. And he's such a successful man. The man forsake his mother and father. This Mexican came to me and told me, God called me, preacher. But he said, my daddy died when I was a little boy. And he said, preacher, I can't leave my mother sitting here beside the road. I've been taking care of her since I got out of school. Said, I've worked on a job since I was a little boy. And my mother's never had to work. I've worked, and said. But he surrendered. And his brothers come to him and said, look, they're not even saved. They said, look, you go on where God told you. You do your part, and we'll do our part. We'll take care of mom. So you've got to surrender. You've got to do your part. You've got to do your part. But the righteous are not fooled by the temporary success of the wicked. You see, the wicked's success depends on his producing. When Brother John come to drive me, he was making $45,000 a year. He said, I want to drive you. I said, hey, man, ain't $3 in this thing. He said, I've had that. I want to go to work. So he went to work. Amen. And I've seen people that took his job. Bingo, fired. It don't even last 3 or 4 months. And the guy come to him one day and said, I want to give you a job for $75,000 a year. And I told John, I said, that's a pretty good job. Gusco Dodge, $75,000 a year. He said, ain't nothing. That's car business. And since that time, Brother John, that's probably been a year ago when that happened, they've had 4 men that they've hired to take the last man's place that they want the job they want to give you. Well, you've got to produce. See, that's the wicked. See, a Christian can't produce nothing. See, God produces in the Christian. The Christian surrenders to God. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm scared of these so-called preachers that want you always to have this big, wonderful report to send in. Sometimes it ain't quite that. I'm glad I ain't had to send out a report the last 3 or 4 months. Amen. The report would have been bad, and it made everybody sad. Amen. Amen. I mean, I don't care if you're talking about sports. I don't care if you're talking about war. I don't care if you're talking about politics. I don't care if you're talking about union workers. You have got to produce. And producing is success in this mad, crazy world. Obedience is success in the Christian life. You obey God, and I don't care what happens. You are successful. Obey God. Jesus obeyed God. What happened? They killed him. He's the greatest success that's ever lived. Stephen obeyed God, stoned him to death. What did he produce? Blood. But he was successful.
Wonder why he got so many songs about him. Ain't nobody going to write me about us, are they? Verse 12 said, the righteous man wisely considered the house. See, the righteous are not taken in by monetary gains. And I'm going to tell you something. Even the mission field, you're not immune to this. When you go to the mission field, you get on the field, preacher, you're not immune to it. You'll take a little church, and a man told me, said, preacher, I'm just sorry. My church cannot take on any missionaries. Furthermore, Brother Wood, we don't have to cut out our missionary program. And I was standing upstairs in this house worth $200,000, $175,000, and I'm looking out in the garage at five cars, and the three people live there. And I said to myself, this poor man is having it hard. I mean, in five cars, at least $50 a month, just for the insurance. And I mean, Junior out there just tearing them up. He said, we can't support any missionaries. See, we consider the wicked wise. And I'm going to tell you, if that's your view, you're wicked. Amen. God told you what to do, and you said, Lord, I'm not going to do it. And so you wrap that excuse, see, that excuse up. And you say, Lord, this is why I didn't do it. But why you didn't do it is because you won't be obedient to God. And then you go to the mission field, and the support falls off. Brother Bobby just told you that. He's got about $100-something, $150 beside me and Danny. And every day of his life, Brother Bobby don't go down to jail and preach. He goes down to that prison and stays 8 hours. Walks up down in sailboats, knocks on in sailboats. And Dr. Ruckman gave me a box of tracks, and I said, just put one in each cell. Tell it like it is. They put one in each cell block. Hey, listen, we get sometimes 8 and 10 of those tracks a week. 8 and 10 a week. Said, listen, preacher, we get letters by the week. Letters, full of letters. I read them myself. We got saved this week. Why, them men come back in prison, and they got lists of names that long. They got people that they go visit in the town. Go visit my mother. Go visit my brother. Hey, you want an open door? You just go tell a mama you just come from the penitentiary visiting Tommy and praying with him. He got saved, and mama let you in the door. Yeah, you won't have no trouble getting there. I said, the righteous are not taken in by this monetary gain. Money that comes fast, it goes fast, doesn't it? In 23:5, it says, will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward the heaven. Would you set your eyes on that which is not? Hey, missionary, do you think you're above this? You said, man, I surrendered my life to come over here. And do you know what I deserve? I know exactly what you deserve. You need to be in hell with your back broke. That's what you deserve. You don't deserve nothing. Whatever God gives you, it's wonderful. I'll holler amen, praise the Lord. But I'm going to say, I've noticed God most of the time don't give His children much. Because most of it, like me, you can't handle it. So He don't have any idea what you're going to do with it. You said, I was going to buy all tracks with you. I know you are. As if your wife come back from town. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 2 and verse 1 said, my son, if thou will receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou shalt incline thine ear to wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seek her as silver, search for her as a hid treasure. Then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times success in this world breeds some things. Greed, covetousness, pride, and self-sufficiency. Now, I'm just going to have to tell you the truth. I've never drove up on a 5,000-acre ranch, walked up to an old man, used that mountain out of his cell. He got all them cattle out there. And he said, just come right in. I'm just ready to get saved right now. I never have. Most of them said, I just want you to know right now, I don't need you.
nor God, nor nobody else. I come out here, my granddaddy come out here, we used this out of nothing, and I'm here. My granddaddy fought the Indians for this thing. This is our land. Can I say amen? See, we're not. Who would covet after that which 8 children going to kill each other over? Did you ever see how proud people are? This is mine. I made all of this. Mm-hmm. I've been in churches like that. Amen. Monetary gains. Are you listening to me? Money does not have. Many times money doesn't make you happy. I know a lot of rich folks unhappy. I know a lot of Christians pray for money. People play lottery down in Houston. Texas never had no gambling in Texas, so they let in the lottery. And I seen them arrest a Catholic priest the other day because he's having a bingo game. I said to myself, what's the difference between a bingo game and playing lottery? And a guy stole 200 lottery tickets and lost a job making $20,000 a year. And they said it was $50 winners in all 200. I mean, it's a real deal. He got $50 for a $20,000 job, and 2 guys helped him steal it. All 3 of them, they lost $60,000. And if they'd have got away with it, they'd have made 50. See, I've wisely considered this. Texas, the other day, sold $27 million worth of lottery tickets, and they had a girl's picture, they put her on television, put her on the radio, the newspaper, said she won $1 million. Really? Where'd the other 25 go? Oh, you said they're going to put it in there and lower taxes. As soon as they got it in there, this year the state of Texas raised the property tax 47% to take care of a school that teaches people how to be stupid. Yeah. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, winner! But I picked up something the other day and read it about the 50 of the last winners of a lottery of $1 million. And it said they took 50 people and checked them out. It said all 50 of them, without any exception, within 10 years, never had a dime in the world and was the most miserable people in the world because they had $1 million and I ain't got nothing. There ain't a person in this building would know how to handle $1 million. Jones, if you and I had $1 million tonight, we would be totally dangerous. It'd be the biggest gamble you ever did. Yes. The righteous have wisely considered this monetary gain. Them ladies that stood up a while ago, Miss Tadlock, raised right down in that ghetto, got saved by the grace of God, and God has took care of this lady. And she went to her job one day, she made $4 or $5 an hour, wasn't much. She went over and said, come out here and see what God gave me. And they walked in, and there was a big station wagon there, and we took up a big offering and got this. And they said, where'd y'all get that station? She said, the church gave it to us. Isn't the Lord good? We're going to haul all these little children in this station wagon. And the man said, I ain't never heard of a church giving nobody nothing. I thought all them churches had their hand up. Hey, people begin to come and look at her church, listen to her pastor, because she drove that thing down. See, we're not. See, that prodigal son said, give me! When you get that attitude, you just like him, you hit it to the hog teeth. Money does not bring happiness. It doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring enjoyment. It doesn't even bring living. There's an old man named DeHart up in North Carolina. If you've ever been up at Lackey, you know him. And DeHart's house caught on fire. That dirt floor. DeHart's house caught on fire and burned down. It was about a week before Christmas. Here come the newspaper out there. And they come out there and they said, you Mr. DeHart? He said, that's right. They said, well, and they had a couple truckloads of playthings and stuff, and they started unloading all these toys. He said, "What is all that?" I said, "That's toys." He said, "Get that stuff off my property." They said, "Mr. DeHart, these are gifts from the people." He said, "We don't receive any charity around here." He said, "We work with our hands for everything we've got. And this 7,500 acres of land is ours. Get off my property." "Oh, we want to put this on television where everybody's here." He said, "And we don't want that on our property either. Get off." Like he said, he come down one day and said, "What you want to do with this 1,500 pound steer I got?" He said, "What are you doing with 1,500 pound steer?" He said, "I want to pay my children's tuition in school. I've got you 1,500 pound bill with this." You know what happened, Mr. DeHart? Mr. DeHart had looked at monetary gain. And what's gaining to some people is really a loss. People lose their testimony. They lose their character. They lose everything. Are you listening? The righteous are not impressed even by their instant fame. I hear people. I went to a lady's house one time, and I never will forget when David was born 30-something years ago. I was pastoring a little church, and this lady was a member of my church. Her husband had got saved during one night. I preached to him. He left the town with old eggs on his truck and stopped beside the highway, got on his knees and asked God right in the middle of the highway. He was under conviction, said, "God, save me for Jesus' sake." She had a big old tall boy, played for the Green Bay Packers. I mean a great linebacker in the Vince Lombardi's days. And that boy, I had won that boy the Lord. That boy was saved. And one day, man, I didn't know nothing about football. I'd only been to one football game. They all been over and smelled each other, jumped up and started fighting. I went home. I didn't know what they was even doing. Amen? That's right. Yeah. I know what they're doing. Have any idea? The ball kept jumping around and it kept knocking each other as this gut. Amen? Amen? I drove up in front of her house years later, pastoring down in Houston, and I just remembered her, and I stopped down, and I said, "How are you getting along?" Same little house right beside the highway. I mean, she kept Marcia and them out of that night when David was born, and well, me and these people were friends. And she said, "We're doing just fine. I mean, we ain't never been asked in, and we want a front porch." I looked at him, you know, and I said, "Where's the boy?" "Oh," she said, "he lives right over there." Said, "He just built him a new home, about $200,000 home." And said, "You know, he's playing for Green Bay." I said, "Is that right?" I said, "Well, I'm going to drive over and see him." And she said, "Oh no, don't do that." I said, "Bart Starr's over." I said, "Who's he?" "Honest before the Lord, I'm telling you, honest truth." She said, "Bart Starr's down here. Have you seen him?" And said, I wouldn't want you to go over there." And I said, "What is that? Who is Bart Starr?" She said, "Well, he's a quarterback for Green Bay." I thought about how many times that woman had asked me to talk to that boy. I thought about the times that woman asked me to pray for that boy and pray for his brother who played for the Bears. And I remember all the time. But here I come through the town. I hadn't saw him in 20 years. And I just stopped. And years later, that woman picked up the phone, called me. She said, "Preacher, I was wrong." Do you know what happened to her? That instant thing. "Oh, look who my boy is." I don't know which would be the worst, be a great football player or a convict. I don't know which would be the worst. But both of them bad. Instant fame, you can't handle it. I mean, you wake up in the morning, you're born in the ghetto of Houston, Texas, and you wake up in the morning, and you're getting your welfare check every week, and all of a sudden that guy writes you a check out for $1 million. You know what you'd do? You'd do just like if four black boys in our town, their mother was a maid. And she's working for a rich man, and this rich man had just took him $1 million and put it in the deep freeze, wrapped it up just like meat, and put on a beef. Put it all down the bottom of the suitcase, bottom of that thing. And put it in it, and put meat all over top of it, and closed it up. Well, them kids, they got to stealing that meat out of there. One day, one of them took the wrong sack. He got home, opened up, had about $100,000 in there, and he said, "Whoo!" Man, they went down, they bought him a Corvette, and they bought him this, and they bought him that. They fished in that thing for about a year. They stole about $700,000 out of there.
And when they found them, all they had, they was living in a house worse than they did when they got it. And it was about 12 brand new, totaled out, wrecked cars in the front yard. I mean, it looked like John Henry's junk car.
Listen to me.
We're not. Hey, we wisely consider the wicked. You said, if I had $1 million,
well, if you just had faith, you could get where you're going and get done what needs to be done. You need no $1 million. You need God.
Amen.
See, God give it to you $2 at a time. Then you be real careful with the next $2 He gives you. Because it'll be a long time before you get it. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, that cold oatmeal ain't bad for you. You say, I'm going to make sure my children don't have to go through one. Don't worry, they won't. They'll live off you all their life. Heard on the radio this past week where one out of three, every male adult in America lives at home with his mama. One out of three. So I'm going to hit about six here tonight. One out of three. I'm going to tell you something, Junior. If you're 28 or 29 years old, give them people a rest. And grab you a handful of freight train and pull out. I mean, hey, mama, make that bed so uncomfortable, it has to live. Leave. Oh, I just couldn't stand to think of it. There's one of these nuts on this talk show said, how come you don't leave? He said, well, I have my master's degree, which his daddy had paid for. He said, if I leave, how could I do the things that I want to do? Well, how can mom and daddy do what they want to do with you sitting around? You hit the road, Junior. Amen. The righteous are not impressed. Fools make fools their leaders. Just look who you voted for last year. I mean, just think about it. Think about it. Fools make fools their leaders. Just think about some pastors you've called in the past. One man said, how did we get him? I said, you imported him. You brought him 1,000 miles without asking anybody about him. Now, we'll forget Bubba Key one time. He was standing, and a guy said, we called so-and-so to be our pastor. He done his head like this in. That lady said, you don't like our pastor? He said, oh, yeah, I love him. The boy said, he sure got a bad track record. He said, I never did like to run on a horse on 75-1 long shot. People call a preacher like they get a janitor. Don't check him out. Here comes some whoremonger. Child, no less. Ain't no telling what he is. And then they get up outside the community. Here's our new pastor. Has such a lovely spirit. He believes the King James Bible. He'll not be a snake. I said, the wicked, we wisely consider the house of the wicked. You know, you don't have to say amen for me. I just always amen myself. But the wicked make the wicked their king. But I want you to listen to me now. Fame most of the time is our failure. You can say anything you want to about me. You can say, well, Brother Wood, he's a great preacher. Brother Wood knows Brother Wood better than you do. You can say anything you want to. But I know this old sucker better than you do. If anything ever gets done, God's going to have to show up. I mean, you ain't got no ability at all. I mean, I don't even have the ability to get along with people. Furthermore, I don't even want to get along with them. And I'm not one of them guys that goes to the back door, God bless you, God bless you. They ain't seen that sucker in a week. I don't want God to bless him. I want God to curse him. Bring him back humble. Amen. Let him fall down the altar. Oh, run back and shake everybody's hand where you can get him back again. Thank you, Brother Wood. When I came to Shady Acre, they said, we got one accusation to bring against you that's going to vote me out. They said, you never shake hands with nobody.
I said, God didn't call me to shake your hand. God called me to shake your heart.
That's what I'm trying to do right now. I said, the righteous are not impressed. Oh. Missionary told me that they said, one of my girls is a doctor. One of my girls is trained with a doctor. My son is going to school. I'd be ashamed to sell all that. If the doctors have more impressed my children than I have. He said, I don't believe that. I know you don't. You'd rather have a doctor for a son than you would a preacher. Hallelujah. Well, we need some good Christian doctors. How many is a member of your church? They're too busy. They're too busy. Thank God for every saved doctor. I've met nearly, three in these 39 years that I've been preaching. I want to praise God for all three of them. I've met about four policemen that were saved. And four city firemen, but all four of them backslid. So they had to work on Sunday. See, I'm not impressed by their faith. You don't impress me telling me about how much money your son's making. You'll tell me how much time he spends in prayer, and how much he gives the missions, and how much he loves the lost souls of this world. You can impress me. You can impress me. My mother, they buried her in a little old ghetto house over there. Old home place. I mean, ain't a preacher in America to live in that community. It's rough, man. But tonight, two of her children are right here in this church. One of them is married to Brian Rogers. I seen a lady look at her like that. She's always kissing me. That's my sister. I ain't going to make you stand up married. It's my sister. My other sister stands right in front of the church every Sunday, every Wednesday night, and deals with people who come from. That's why Mama left. I never will forget my aunt telling her, she said, you know, we have a, and I mean, this was way back in the 40s. She said, you know, we've got a CD, $50,000 in CDs. It's probably in 51 or 2, really. And we got $50,000. She invested all of her money in Randy Pike. And I said, oh, it's good. You don't believe that, ask him. Randy told me, so I sit on my side of the road one time, couldn't get to California, so I need to go. And so that old man said, what are you waiting on, Randy? He said, I ain't got no money. And he said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to California and rent me a car. She pulled out a big old roll of money, always carry a big old roll of money, pulled out a roll of money out. I said, how much are you going to take? He told him how many hundreds of dollars were. He had a whole fistful of money. He said, yeah, you better eat on the way and get your motel and get killed going out there. Here I am. Call me Chip. This aunt said, my mother laughed at it. She said, sure. We gave more than that to missions. And I remember when they cut both of her legs off, Shug. I remember when they buried her and she had a lesbian stood there as a daughter. I seen her other daughter stand right there by the casket, been married 5 times. I seen her son stand there as a hopeless alcoholic. And I said, man, this old poor woman, she'd been saved way back when she said. She got money on her mind. My mother warned me, I never will forget. She said, Jack, that's the end of money. Then people just died in confusion. My daddy's brother. Confusion and frustration. The old man died and went to hell. Most of the kids are dying and going to hell. So you see, that fame doesn't impress me a bit. That money doesn't impress me a bit in the world. Doesn't impress me a bit in the world. Are you listening? Fame sometimes will become your favorite. Fame sometimes will destroy your morals, your mind, your manhood. You better wisely consider the house of the wicked.
better get your pack, dark glasses. Spurgeon said, if you're going to pastor a church, you need to have one eye and just one ear. Did you ever read that sermon, Brother Jones? Tremendous sermon. One eye and one ear. He said, when you can go to church, just hear half what they said. That's in the hallways. So the preacher's there. Don't be listening for nothing. Quit looking at everything. Just get a hold of God and preach. That's what he's talking about. All right. Fame destroys men. One thing about fame. It destroys men's dreams. I've seen young men dream of a place outside of town and home. And fame destroys. You know, Nolan Ryan, I've always kind of admired that guy. Born and raised right down just right below us there, about 20 miles from us. And Nolan's always, he's a multi-millionaire, owns two banks there. One at Alvin, Texas, one at Oakstern, owns a big ranch there. Nolan Ryan said, I'm going to wear the same khaki breeches, I'm going to wear the same wore out boots I always wore, and the same white hat. And he went down and he sat down and he told one of the men, I said, you ain't been to my house this week. You always come and drink coffee. He said, well, since you signed that $1 million contract, Nolan Ryan said, what has $1 million got to do with our friendship? What's $1 million got to do with our friendship? I'm going to tell you one thing. He's one out of 1 million that can handle that fame and fortune. You listen? The righteous are not instructed, if you please, by the world's wisdom. I looked at this thing in Proverbs in chapter 10. You got your Bible, please look at it. That little cloud's beginning to rise. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Isn't that strange? Brother Homer, when we took up these offerings and just trying to help somebody else, wasn't none of dime of it for me or you either one. But if we took up these offerings for somebody else, the Bible said it, he's a dealer with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent make it rich. He will come poor that he with a slack hand. And he that criticized us, Brother Homer, and talks about us, will come right back and say, Brother Homer, you know, I'm just in a total bankruptcy, and I wonder if you could let me have 200. He said, well, I can't do it because, you see, you don't need to be liberal. And surely you don't need to take up an offering in the church. So what could I do for you? I don't have anything. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest. Are you looking at it? Is a son that causes shame. That's that son that lives at your house. Did you get up about 11 o'clock every day? You don't go haul no hay. These are what we call downright sorry in Texas. Blessings upon the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Just like a stinking rotten onion. Ain't nothing in the world smell like a rotten onion unless it be a rotten Irish potato. Whoa. I mean, it jags a maggot off of a gut wagon. And God said his name and just rot. Just rot and rot. I have saw this happen. An old preacher lived in our community. It was a real blessing to me. He tried to help me in a way it was. Never had no conviction, never stood for nothing. None of his boys ever lived for God, none of them. One of his boys the other day took one of my young men in there. He said, let me tell you something. I went to Baylor University and I graduated and I was a so-called preacher, but I'm telling you, there ain't a God in heaven. There's no God. That Bible is untrue. He said, I play the organ in the Methodist church. He said, there ain't no God. That little old French boy, Brother Billy, that you trained over there, that little old boy asked him, said, whose house is this? He said, well, this is the old church parking. Really? You're living in it? Hadn't been for God, you wouldn't have no place to sleep. This beak nose, sorry, look like Andy Gump, you know, with a big bruise was sticking out. Ain't no God. And right then, he went to school on Baptist money, lived all his life on Baptist tithe, wore the clothes that come from that little old church and thanked the God in Jesus. And that scoundrel is taking a young boy and saying, ain't no God, ain't no God. But his name shall rot.
Righteous. Their instruction to the world are all of the flesh. That's what Joe cooked up in his mind, you see. Their instruction is rooted in position, in money, in prejudice, abuse, and pride. It's rooted in that. And when they begin to instruct you how to do God's work, there ain't nothing but intellectualism coming out of his mouth. You don't know nothing about God. You know what you need down at that church? God. That's all you need. You need God. You say he's everywhere. I don't know. I've been two or three places he ain't. I don't know. I couldn't find him. That's right at home. I was looking for him too. Couldn't find him. Yeah. I talked to two or three other people and they couldn't find him there either. I went out on the front porch and Jesus was sitting outside saying, I can't get in either. Amen. I said, the righteous, not instructed by the wisdom. Their instruction does not produce godliness. If you'll listen to wicked religion, they'll criticize everything we said here this week. Clean living, godly living, old-fashioned word called holy living. What did Bishop Ryle say about it? This was Episcopalian. I know you surely believe more in Episcopalian faith. Brother Jones, what did Bishop Ryle say about holiness?
No Holy Life, no Holy Ghost.
No Holy Ghost, no heaven.
No Holy Life, no Holy Ghost.
You said, I was saved, Brother Will, I just didn't grow. Let me ask something about God. Is he God? Now, if Brother Jones can teach you that you can be smart enough to raise your children, you think God ain't smart enough to raise his?
That's right.
If Jones tells you that discipline and correction and love and compassion will make a good boy, do you think God's got sense enough to raise his own? I'm going to just say it just like it is. God does not raise bastards. He births his children. Somebody said, God adopts me. I ain't adopted. I was birthed into his family. I was birthed into his family. I'm God's boy. He planted the seed, impregnated my soul, birthed me into the family of God. And I didn't have sense enough to get out of the lane. And I got saved in an old ex-drug addict's church in Los Angeles, California. He didn't know more about God than I know about the moon. I wasn't saved 6 or 7 months. My sister came out there and married, tell you the same thing. I began to say, something wrong. And they told me a dirty joke one day, a dirty, filthy joke. I said, something wrong here. And you want to go down to pool hall, shoot a game of pool. I didn't know. Shot pool all my life, Joe. Went in there and picked that stick up, picked that chalk up, looked around in that pool hall, all them thieves and thugs in there. I said, we supposed to be in here? Well, who taught me that? I got a heavenly Father. And he done moved out of that other world, and he done moved out of here. And I see all kinds of red flags going off. And then flags that say, whoo, 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 whoo. You say, he'll never do me like that. That's what a figure. I'll tell you, about 4 or 5 months later, I told my wife, better get in that car. We're going home. We're going back to Texas. I said, man, something wrong here. I could hear them people instructing me. Instructing me. You better be careful. You're going to become a fanatic. You're just going to be a radical. The instructions do not produce godliness. Your instruction does not take God into consideration. I've heard mission men say, don't you think that it would probably be better if you went over to this field? Or that? Hey, how about taking God into consideration? Let God tell that man where he's going. Brother Wood, one man came. He was a big BBS Bible teacher, and he came in our church, and I don't, probably a lot of good men, I don't know him. I've never preached in a BBS church in my life, but I knew him. But anyway, this man came in, I'm sure he was a teacher there. And his daughter and her husband was there, and he happened to be in Houston. And so this man, he came in there, and he said, well, John Thompson got to lead the singing. I don't know why it was like that. We prayed half the night for a mission conference. That Holy Ghost moved in that building. It got so thick in there, man, you'd have to have a CNI dog get around there. I mean, it got prominent. Remember, John? And this man run out the door, 60 years old, bragging about, I come out of the Southern Baptist. He run out the door. And Brother Jim Jordan walked out there and said, what's the matter? He said, my God, what's going on in there? Did you see that man waving his hand? He wasn't waving at him. You say, I don't understand that, Brother Wood. Well, just because you don't understand, there's a lot of things here I don't understand. I don't understand it at all. But I'll tell you something. Their instruction does not take God into consideration. I wonder what kind of service that they was having on the day of Pentecost. Do you have an imagination like mine? Did you ever just sit down and close your eyes and said, Lord, what kind of, how did they conduct that service? The next day, how did they conduct that service? Did they wave their hand? Did they play the piano? Or did they play the organ? Or did they use a guitar? Or maybe did they just use a flute? What did they use? Lord? I don't know what they used. But I'll tell you one thing, during a primitive service, 3,000 people got saved. And I'll bet you $100 to nothing. You couldn't explain nothing that happened that day. I bet if you put that thing in a test, Satan, and looked in there with a microscope, you say, my, how'd that happen? And that's the way God is. If you could explain it, you'd be smarter than the one that done it. But since you're a Baptist and you can't explain it and you can't control it, you ain't gonna have it. Now Jack Woods coined them words. I can't explain it, I can't control it, I'm not gonna be in my church service. Do you know some of these people might start talking in tongues? Do you know that there's about 800 pounds of man just sitting there with them two and they can put them outside? Do you believe that? Do you think that I've ever put anybody outside? Do you think we've ever literally threw them outside? Do you believe that Brother John just stopped the guy the other day with a 45, three men coming to church to rob the church, and we didn't even have no problem with them? Oh, you said, I don't believe you ought to do that. What are you going to do, rob you and kill your women, molest your women? No. Big John standing at the door, and Victor standing down at the other end. And at 225 yards, Victor's got a 30-30 pistol. I ain't never seen nothing like in my life. He loads it set, and at 200, I ain't never heard of that in my life. And he shoots at the hole 11 times. That's that big a rest. I ain't never seen no shooting like that in my life. But he got saved by that old guy told me. Guy told me one time he seen him shoot a guy in the mouth with a 357 and said, man, he needed it in his bag. Amen. I think that's the reason most people don't come over there to church messing with us. See, the righteous are not inspired by the knowledge of the wicked. I don't care if it's a college professor.
Brother Olaf told me this, honest before God. He told me, said, I went to the seminary. I graduated from Baylor University. I graduated from the seminary. And it took me 25 years to forget what they taught me. Took him 25 years to forget what they told him. Then the best thing to do is just don't go. Then you ain't got nothing to forget. You can just fill your mind with the Word of God. Hey, I'm not in. Oh, you said, boy, you ought to be in this school and that school. And hear Dr. So-and-so corrupt the Word of God. Oh, never, 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 never. The wicked know a lot about space. Don't know much about living for God, do they? The wicked know a lot about the sea. They don't know how to save. Well, they go down there. Brad Toll told me that they went down in South America down there. And he said he was looking for a little plant body about that big one. He said they got down there and then little things down the water. He said, boy, they'd get them. He said they'd get up there and they'd go through them things all night long. Three men from big university where his daddy taught. He said, boy, they were just baffled in their mind if they studied something 400 foot down the sea. Now look, dumbbell. If God wanted you 400 foot down the bottom of the sea, he'd put fins on you. And if God wants me down at 400 foot of sea, he's going to have to tell me in living color. Amen. If you watch the wicked, there ain't nothing that the wicked don't know about destruction. But no nothing about God's deliverance. They can destroy a city in 1 minute. And it can't stop 400 black people burning down a town. I say what I know. I know four Texas Rangers talk all 400. So, Homer, I see, I didn't see it. I read in the history book of Texas. In 1913, across the county of Texas, a fellow named Hamer who killed Clyde Bear years later. But Hamer, they sent him down there and one ranger. He said, we should close that town down. And he went down and he burned the town. You know, how come he burned that town? Because he had the authority. And he said, this state has no gambling. This state has no prostitution. And it's against the law. And he burned the city of Costa County down. And he told Gonzales, he said, set fire to the streets. It's made out of wood. And it burned the streets. 2 days later, two fellas come up in Chicago. They called out all that stuff belonged to the mob, all the gambling joint. They hit all there. Hamer was leaning up against a bar 2 miles down the road. Guy walked in there and reached on his arm, picked that fist up, and he kicked him right underneath his chin, broke his neck, and asked the other fellow, said, what did you want? He said, I was trying to find a train. That's in a history book. That's why I read it. I read a history book. When a man kicks you with a 14 boot under your, you've been kicked. That's all I can tell you. The righteous are not inspired. I'm going to read you a verse of scripture. That's what you need in. Chapter 10, verse 13. 10, verse 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of them that are void of understanding. You got a lot of knowledge, you don't understand that. A nation as powerful as this nation can't even stop a few little dope peddlers. But J. Edgar Hoover with the FBI agent can put every bootlegger in prison, even Al Capone. In his first, last year that he worked, he made $175 million. And died like the rest of the wicked, with syphilis of the brain. I had a friend done time right there and said the mob put four men around him and he'd walk right through it. Alcatraz prison. A robot. The man said, that's what I want, 175. It didn't help him. It didn't help him a bit. It drove him off to hell. Are you listening tonight? The righteous know God has the key.
What are you looking for the key to success? When God's got the key, He's a master lock.
Hey, you don't have to read no book. These old men of God, down here sit down all week and told you preacher boys. You better find God. I'm going to give you this last thing. The righteous are totally aware of their own destination. The wicked have no idea where they're going. They have no idea what they're doing religiously, physically, mentally, politically. They have, anybody with a country great as this country, and they had only two people to vote for, and that's Clinton and Bush, and that little Danny Rooster down there named Ross. And that's the only three people you got to vote for. We are in a pit of mess. I mean, that is all we've got left. I mean, this is like reading Snuffy Smith. One guy been 12 years a whoremonger. The other one has sold everything he got to Iran. And the other guy's got enough money to burn a wet mule. And I know if Perot gets in, he's going to help me and you. Because he's always been so concerned about the poor. The poor. And Jesse Jackson said, oh, we don't need $5 billion. We don't need $10 million. He has got him a scheme together. He said, we want $20 billion. What for? We want to build them some houses where they can burn them down. I was somewhere, in one of them Cambodians, or one of them Koreans. He was a Korean. What do they call them Marines in Korea? Rock. Yeah. And this guy had him one of them big 45. And this guy running there going and had him some fire and gas, and he takes one, and he said, bang, bang, bang. Now that's one that didn't even have to rest.
Amen.
They took 18 of them Marines, the Korean Marines,
yeah,
and lined them up down there on that Korean part of that town. Yeah. And said, and every one of them had an Uzi. And you know where the fire stopped? Where the Uzis were.
Yeah.
No problem with it at all. Hallelujah. You're talking about stupid. And people's houses are burned. People, and some of the people, good, honest, hard-working black people. And the buildings are burning. Their homes are burning. Their fortunes are burning. And America said, let it burn. And Jesse Jackson said, we're sending you a message. I'm sending that sucker a message tonight. Just say one word, 10 gauge. Ain't going to burn nothing out of you. Ain't going to burn nothing I got.
I mean in a skinny minute.
I know where I'm going. They have no idea where they're going. I know that they've got a day appointed. All this religious crowd, Independent Baptists, Southern Baptists, all joined up with the Catholics. You go down in prison. You just come down there. You just come down and let Bobby Cox take you. And let Bobby Cox take you to the First Baptist Church where Johnny Bassanio is, and let a woman get up there and show you that she's an ordained Southern Baptist preacher. And she takes a queer Catholic and shows you how to win a queer to the Lord. You said, I just don't want to hear that, Brother Wood. I know you don't. I know you don't want to hear it. Hey, furthermore, I don't want to hear it. Who is going to tell it?
Amen.
I don't even go in the churches. I ain't even going to preach in the churches.
Amen.
And I don't want none of the old money.
Amen.
That money is dirty. That money is nasty.
Amen.
Well, asked me if I preach a funeral one other day. I said, no. They've already preached a funeral. Cloud come back. We know this. God is angry with the wicked. Every day. And say something. He's not only angry with the wicked. He's angry with those who sympathize with the wicked. We know with all the greed, no grace whatsoever, all of their great ideas, they fail. We as independent Baptists, I believe today, I'd rather live right now than any time there have been in history. I believe this is the greatest time. I believe we've got the greatest opportunity that any man has ever had in the history of the world. But you know what we're doing? We're discussing the fleet. Rick Reimer told me the other day on the cell phone, he said, "Preacher, I watched them take 200,000, around 200,000 Russians out of this country." And he went home. He said, "We had an open invitation to give every one of them a Bible." He said, "We got 10,000 Bibles we gave them." The other 200,000 went home without them. From every country of Russia, we had an opportunity. Hyman Appleman said at Baylor University, he said, "It's on the docket. How you can go down and read." He was the head of evangelism. He ought to know. He said, 1927, they said, "Please send us about 100 men who could evangelize in Russia and help us set up our seminaries underground where we could train our boys." I heard Hyman Appleman say, "You want to know how many we sent?" "None. None." "How much paper we sent? How many Bibles we sent?" 13 boys came down on the 12th day of last month. Told Mark Landau, 13 boys. Said, "God saved us and called us. They've come out of that underground church." He said, "We'd like to know about the Lord." Jim Bowler taking 8 hours a day training Russian men. Russian. Ukrainians. Ukrainians. What are we going to do about it? You can't depend on the wicked. You can't even depend on the wicked that's sitting here. One man said, "Well, I just tell you, I don't go along with word for the world. Send out a lot of these men, they're not ready." So I checked up on him. You know, if you say something, you ought to back it up. I asked somebody in church, I said, "How many missionaries y'all got out of that church, went out of that church, was called out of that church, and it was saved right there in that church?" He said, "Not one." "If you ain't never got a man saved and you ain't never got a man called a Christian, you ain't never trained him, how are you going to tell me what to do?" I mean, you eat up with ignorance. I don't like that, Brother Woods. Who? I mean, how are you going to tell Homer Smith? He said he got a wet brain. Jack Woods been an old ex-drug addict. I know how to communicate with these old hoodlums. Then you get them saved, then get them called, bring them up here, and let all you smart guys teach them something. I mean, but don't you taught them a lot through the years. You come down. Danny Parker's taught these men a lot. Hey, I can't teach these men. I don't know nothing. You say, "I already know that. I know how to preach to you, though." I've got you all stirred up tonight. Amen. The Bible said, "The righteous wisely consider for wicked." I mean, take a deep look at the wicked. Clear look at the wicked and wickedness. You say, "Well, Brother, I believe we'll just quit talking about all that stuff. Just praise the Lord." Did you ever try to praise the Lord on top of all that? Was it like you told me one time, he was sitting on the thing to get that old man's mind as clear as a bell one day? I said, "John Mitchell's here." He said, "Well, we never had not tonight, Monday night." I said, "Well, Danny Chapel's here." He said, "Not tonight, preacher, not tonight." I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" He said, "I'm Don Green." He said, he looked around and said, "Got your eyes sharp?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Preach." Just smoking. Everybody in there was bleeding. And the next night I said, "Brother Mitchell's here." He said, "Not tonight. You preach." I got rough as a night in jail. And the next night, John Mitchell preached. Here they come. I come. That old Don Green done cut them all to the holler. I just poured a little salt in it. John Mitchell gives invitation. Here they come running. The glory of God all over. You see, it took it all three of them to get the job done. And then you notice something? I always notice this, brother. When you start taking up a big offering, I've been in some big offering, $100,000 offering, cash offering, $60,000. I've been in some big offering. I'm fixing to take up on that 30 acres, too. And I've always noticed while you're taking up on the big offerings, people just start getting saved. Me and Carl Lackey was taking up an offering one time at Mac Ford, and 13 people saved while we were taking the offering. How's that happen, Brother Jack? I don't know. Most people aren't hurt enough, they know how to be saved. I mean, there's enough planted inside of you and buried inside of you. Holy Ghost just move a little bit, breathe a little bit on it, and you get saved. I'm going to tell you one thing, it's hard to get saved when the wind ain't blowing. God ain't moving, ain't nothing stirring around. It's you. The righteous wisely. Let's have a word of prayer, please. The righteous wisely consider. The Bible said riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from them. Do you believe tonight that righteous delivereth from death? I've seen many of kids disobey their mother and rebel against the church and die a violent death. The Lord said, righteous delivers. I believe that. Riches profit nothing. Don't spend your life, young men and women, don't spend your life getting all you can and chanting all you get. Invest your life in the work of God. I don't care how you do it, whether it's down here on a job or on a foreign field or in evangelism. Don't take everything under consideration as you go preach a meeting. How much am I going to get out of this? Or just say, Lord, how much can I give? What can I do? Here's my hand. Open and empty. You put some in them, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do with it. You see, my ladies took their vacation. They're up here. They paid their own way up here. They bought the gas. We loaned them the church with our bus there. John got it all fixed up for them. They shipped in about $50 a piece and took their vacation to come up here to this meeting. He said, I'd rather ride around the mountains. You ride around the mountains enough. You go all your pleasure looking and scenery looking. I'm not against that at all. But probably tomorrow these ladies will all be out here taking a look at Chattanooga. And some of them never been out of Texas. And they'll just have a wonderful time. Going back home, they'll stop here and stop there and pray. Pray for this old preacher. Thank God for what God has done. I pray tonight that you'll say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I want to be a righteous person. And I want to consider. I want to take a big think. I want to really study the house of the wicked. I don't want to get involved in religion or nothing. Nothing. It's got to do with the wicked. Are you a separatist, Brother Wood? Yes, I guess I am. Say much about it, I just let God show me what to do, and I try to follow him all these years. You need to come tonight. You've been flirting. This educational system, the wisdom of this world, things of this world, the toys of this world. You've been floating around. You're not involved in missions. God can't move on your heart anymore like he used to, because you're obligated to them toys. Let God have his way. Let God strip you down. Let God do something for you. Lady, you get to the field if you're not careful. You look at other denominational missionaries. A man said he caught a plane in Africa. Asked him, said, where does the missionary live? He said, you go down the street to the end, turn to right, and when you come to the best house on that street, the biggest house on that street, that's it. He said, I drove down through this little black ghetto and drove down to this big mansion, drove up and got out and went in there. So a man said he's going to become all things to all men that he might win some. Father, we commit this all to you tonight. We believe in our heart we had divine directions. We've done the best we could. You speak to that heart that needs help tonight. To that one that's got their eyes on the things of this world, they'll just turn loose tonight. Let God have His way. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, please.